This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's time to know your lane.
When you have to trim your ear hair, you don't need a lock on your phone, okay? Because you're a mutt. You're a pig and you're a mutt. You don't need, that should be a rule. As soon as you get ear hair, just take the lock off your phone because there's nobody going to be texting. There's no DMs.
You're right.
You got ear hair.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
What an afternoon we have planned. We have a lot to get into. And I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here as well.
There you go. A three-pack of happiness. Wow, what a start. What a start for the show, man.
Just on fire.
We should honestly just go home now. We can't beat that.
No, we can't.
It's all downhill after that.
It really is.
Very exciting.
Very exciting stuff.
And, unless you play for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, you're pretty much done. But at least you got to the NBA Finals. I mean, there's a part of me... Like, Vegas could be in this position tonight. If Washington wins, it's over. And I guess, you know, for the rest of their lives, they're thinking we were that close. And maybe there's a part of them that's like, if we're not going to win, I wish we didn't even make the playoffs.
That was the first thing I thought when I shaved my beard off, listening to Jerry at Center Ice come and get the cup, Steve Yzerman. I'm like, why did we put ourselves through this? It's like,
but I mean,
you got to do it. Somebody's got to lose. But your first reaction is...
But you
get a little Eastern Conference trophy, and it's like they get the cup, and you never. It's just, it's an awful, awful feeling.
But I mean, you tell stories like of being in the cup final.
Yeah, but the stories losing sucks so much worse.
It does. You're right.
But you still got there, dude. You got to walk around during a cup final, knowing that you're playing. You're the only guys playing. You got to be up at the podium of a cup final. Media day, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's a lot of value in that.
For sure.
I wouldn't shoot that down.
Not at all.
What you're saying in the moment, maybe, but I think there is value in it from Vegas's perspective, for sure.
Yeah.
And from a couple of guys on the Cavs, like Rodney Hood, who actually played last night, played pretty well. Jordan Clarkson, guys who have not been in the NBA Finals. For LeBron, there's nothing.
No.
Like, if he loses, which he's going to lose now, they're down 3-0, it's over. I don't think he's sitting there saying, you know what, it was great. I really was very happy to be here.
I think he's sitting there thinking, what team am I going to go to next year so that I can either go up against these guys or join these guys?
He can't join them. He cannot join them. Like, honestly, well, someone wrote me last night an interesting tweet asking me if I would find any interest and any entertainment value in LeBron joining Golden State and them attempting to go 82-0 during the regular season and 16-0 in the playoffs.
It would be terrible, but...
I don't think I would watch. It would be such a joke. That's no contest.
But I would pay attention, though, for a while. Like, for a while, I would pay attention.
Well, it'd be cool.
Because if they start mowing, they're mowing teams over, and they've won 30 in a row or something.
They almost did it without LeBron.
Yeah, they won 73 games without LeBron, and they went 16-1 last year.
73 straight?
No, they didn't win 73 straight, but 73, they only lost 9 times, so...
They went on some runs.
They went on some runs that I'm sure were... You know, I'm sure they had a run that was 30 games. I don't remember all the details, but...
Yeah.
They went perfect through the West last year. They only lost one game, and it was in the NBA Finals.
I agree.
16-1. So they basically have done that already.
Yeah, but I don't know. LeBron's probably sitting there thinking, like, I'm not getting through this team the next 4 or 5 years.
Not with Cleveland. Not with what they have in Cleveland.
But where does he go?
It's Houston and maybe Philly. That's it. If he goes to Houston and they bring in LeBron and they re-sign Chris Paul and they've got James Harden, you know, Capella, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him, but maybe they do. There's your big.
Right.
That could compete. I don't know if that gets it done, but it could compete. I mean, Houston just took Golden State to 7 games, and they were leading at halftime in Game 7 without Chris Paul.
You throw LeBron in that mix, you never know what the hell can happen.
Right. And that's true. Philly, maybe, and now that the news is out there that Brian Colangelo's out.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
What did I say yesterday? Even if it is his wife, you still got to fire the guy.
Well, now, doesn't it take on a completely different slant?
Like, it does.
Now you start to debate, with all due respect, and this kind of feels sleazy, but is their marriage going to survive? Like, it doesn't affect our life or whatever, and, you know, I don't want anybody to take that as I'm hoping that it happens or whatever, but let's just be honest. If you're Colangelo And based on the statements that were revealed today and were released today,
yeah,
by all accounts, he is telling anybody that's willing to listen that he had no clue that his wife was doing this.
That's a crock of garbage. Wives, as close as their relationships are, they don't have that detailed information. Injury reports, blah, blah, blah.
But I
he was telling her everything.
No but kidding. He assumed that she would keep her yap
that's
shut.
That's the difference. It's one, he of course was telling her everything. Like anyone's pretending like he wasn't giving her all this information. Like get over yourself and stop being so naive. Of course he was the source of information. But that doesn't mean necessarily that he knew she had the Twitter accounts going.
I agree.
Now I find it hard to believe that she wouldn't tell him, hey, I'm out here doing this, that, or the other. Maybe not five burner accounts or four or whatever. Maybe not comment sections on blogs all the time. But
I have a hard time thinking they last through that.
But what's your Jerry's on a divorce?
95%.
I'm a 50%. I'm going to give them a chance.
Dude, it's 70% in real life with no problems.
No, I think it's 50%, isn't it? It's not over 50.
It 50. Is.
One in two couples.
No, it's 50. It's 50%.
Dude, it's not 50. It's at least 60.
There's no way it's at 60.
Look right now.
I will look at Canadian census. I'm on that all the time. So I'll figure out what the divorce rate is.
It's over 50.
I think it's about 50.
All right. Well, somebody else. How about that? We're talking exactly. on the radio. How about one of you two idiots behind the glass? You figure it out. Here's why I'm going to be low on the divorce. It would have been 100%. If she was doing this behind his back and she was carving him,
right?
Could you imagine being in that situation?
Yeah.
Your boss comes up to you or someone in the media calls you up and goes, Mr. Hayes or Mr. McLennan, Mr. O'Neill, we've been tracking this kind of stuff on Twitter. We have a feeling it's you. If it's not you, it's someone in your inner circle. And they're tweeting a lot of things in your defense. But we also found a few tweets that were absolutely destroying you. And talking about how stupid your callers are or how dumb you can be in terms of drafting or whatever. Think about how much worse that would have been if she was doing this behind his back and the occasional chirp was getting thrown in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I have no idea why they made that trade. That was ridiculously stupid.
There was one in there with, I mean, she did say he was handsome, right?
Yeah, but that's supporting.
That's supporting. That's
why I sympathize for her.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid. She got caught. She never thought she was going to get caught. You know, it's reckless, but it's not as if it was her own Twitter account. She was creating burner accounts. I mean, she probably thought ignorantly, like most people would, they're never going to find out this is me. But it was 100% supportive of Colangelo.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a part of me that feels like when the dust settles, even though he's got to just be red with rage, fuming. Anybody would be.
Well, you got to think about this. If Brian Colangelo wants to work again, doesn't he have to weigh the possibility of the PR move of divorcing his wife so that if he ever has a possibility of a job, it's like, you can't.
Well, here's what I would say.
The dynamic of it, and I know it's about marriage and, he has a relationship with this woman and they're married, blah, 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 but he's got to think of the perception of the other people. Oh, you're interested? Or what is your wife coming along too? Is she going to cause problems again?
Well, yeah.
So he's got to think about that, what the perception of other teams are going to be if he's still with his wife.
If he gets divorced, it would make a strong statement that he actually didn't know she was doing this. Right. I feel like if he knew, you can't divorce her because she's going to come back and be like, screw you, dude. I've been telling you this whole time.
Yeah.
You were the one sitting beside me in bed saying, yeah, tweet this and tweet that. So if he files divorce papers, then all of a sudden you're like, maybe he really didn't know.
But here's
but he
the
was
thing,
still
though.
Regardless, he was still careless telling her all this kind of stuff
that
he probably shouldn't have been telling her anyway.
But maybe there is something legit here too, though. Maybe he didn't know, and he realized she screwed up, and he'll stand by her. Like that's a legitimate option as well. I mean, people make mistakes.
Yes.
If they're going to be together for 50 years or whatever, you think you're a perfect person for 50 years? No, I think it would be a strong statement, but it also, I mean, you're going to throw your marriage away over a job?
Well, it's more than a job. It's a reputation. It's something he's built up for 30 years. I mean, this guy's been dragged through the mud because something his wife did, but again, she did it from a place of love and support.
Right.
Which there is a part of me that trying to put myself in his shoes, if my wife did that, I would. Right. I don't even know how I would react to lose my job and lose my reputation and think my career is down the drains. But I would also, I think at some point, take a step back and be like, she is supporting me here. You know, doing it in a way I wish she didn't.
Yeah, and she can't even really come out and say, I did this, I apologize, because it still goes back to him giving her the information.
Well, and that's why he got fired, ultimately. You know, if it just came out that these were Twitter burner accounts and comment sections where all she was doing was supporting him, not revealing inside information, but just, hey, screw you, he's great. Even if it was Sam Hinkie's a bozo, Masai is a loser, Tim Leiwicki's an idiot.
Right.
Like, if it was all that kind of stuff, I think he could keep his job. It's the fact that she was revealing
player
physicals
stuff.
That didn't get passed.
Ask him about the physical he didn't pass.
Exactly. And let's be honest, what ultimately comes out of this, in terms of what we're dealing with today, mm-hmm. is that he was venting to her about Joel Embiid and about Markelle Fultz, mm-hmm. two players on his team. So even though she was the one tweeting it out, she was getting that from him.
Yeah.
And that's what you can't walk back.
No.
You can't walk that back. Because
and his relationship with his players would be fractured anyway.
Gonzo. They would have demanded him be gone anyway.
Yeah. You have to. And that's why, you know, I think it's technically being labeled he resigned, but they basically went to him and said, do you want us to fire you or do you want to resign?
Yeah, like we'll part
How
ways.
How you want to handle this?
Part ways. What somewhat amicably.
You think she's firing up dinner tonight or no?
I think you skip the dishes tonight, don't you? I think you got to get the Skip the Dishes app.
Yeah, I think you just...
And maybe move.
Well, you can't be in Philly anymore.
No, you are ninja dust. You are dropping the biggest pile of ninja dust in Philly.
Since Will Smith. Like
the house...
left for Bel Air.
But the house is on the market. That's what it is.
Oh, of course.
Can you imagine there's a for sale sign there this afternoon?
We got to get the Will Smith song to fire up Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised in the playgrounds, is where I spent most of my days.
Yeah, I know that song.
Oh, we need that. Awesome. We got to put a Brian Colangelo slant on that. He's going to live with Uncle Phil in Bel Air. He is gone.
For sure. He is gone. Now, the dust will settle. This guy will get another job? Yes guy or no guy?
He's a powerful guy. He's a powerful guy. You know, his name... Here's another angle that I want to throw out. That
was the president of the 76ers and my wife started tweeting. Headed out to L.A.
All right, we got
to
get on this and we'll pump something
out. We got to make
a
jam up.
Yeah, we are going to do that. If we can't do it today, by tomorrow, we're going to have that produced.
Tomorrow we'll have...
If any creative people out there can come up with some lyrics, we'll try to get the jam by the end of the show.
Okay, we got time. We got it. We got a pre-tape later we can do
yes.
it.
Yes.
Ice Cube is going to be
that
on the show later.
That was a ridiculous pre-tape.
That was
you
awesome.
And Larry King on that when you wouldn't even let us
Noodles got in there. Noodles got in there. He turned the whole conversation into a different spot.
I transitioned the conversation into what I wanted to speak about.
So you had to make... I thought he was going to do it by himself.
No. I saw your...
That's garbage.
Your information.
What?
Go ahead, Hazy B.
Yeah, it's all yours, Hazy B.
All yours, Hazy B.
Very supportive.
I happen to be here anyways. Plus, I am, not was... an Ice Cube fan. I enjoyed NWA.
That's why I wanted to let
the first
you guys
time around.
Just do it
not
right.
not when they just became
back in the
famous.
Late 80s.
Like I I'm old enough to have listened to it first time around.
Yeah, so that's coming up later, and if we get a chance when we're playing that pre-tape, we'll put together a Fresh Prince Brian Colangelo spin on this. But here's another thing that I think is important to get out there. This is where the reporting is starting to really get extensive.
Okay.
Because his dad, Jerry Colangelo, is one of the more powerful men in pro sports and one of the biggest power brokers in the NBA and in the NBA's history.
Right.
And someone told, I believe, a website down in Philly that Jerry Colangelo tried to intervene on Brian Colangelo's behalf, and Brian is his son, threatening to interfere with club relationships around the league.
Wow.
Dude, he's got to get gassed too, doesn't he?
Well, Jerry Colangelo is not... He's like an owner. Nothing's happening to Jerry Colangelo.
No.
But the point being is that's a bad look for Brian Colangelo that your dad had to come running to your defense and tried to threaten the 76ers. I mean, that's where I wonder if other owners and other teams are going to be like, I don't really want to get involved in this. But on the flip side of that, Jerry Colangelo, again, the epitome of a power broker, He's got a lot of friends in the NBA.
Right.
So maybe he gets on the phone with an owner and is like, hey, I need you to do me a favor. Remember that favor I did for you back in the 80s and 90s or whatever?
Exactly.
Full circle. I need you to hire Brian and make sure that all of a sudden, he can probably shine up his resume a little bit.
Exactly.
Or try to reclaim his reputation.
It's not happening. But I don't care what he does. In this day and age, when you pull that, it's not happening.
But it's
got to go to Europe and do work over there or something.
I think it blows over. The news cycle, this guy will surface a year from now. Like, we're still tracking the coach from Miami, wasn't it, that it was doing blow on the video.
Yeah, but that guy is... he's not coming back.
But Colangelo didn't do that. Like, I know that. This wasn't as egregious as people are painting it out to be. And I asked you this, and it's a legitimate question. How would you feel if you're that reporter that just cost this guy his job and potentially his marriage?
Well, that's journalism, though, man. Like, you could apply that to anything.
What if
Trump gets impeached because of journalism? You know,
yeah.
That's the way it works. And I understand that's politics. This is pro sports, but
I don't know. I still think it's pretty greasy.
I don't blame the journalist. The journalist didn't make his wife create burner accounts and take runs at people.
Like, you're right. You're right. This is on him and her. But it's a slippery slope because everyone's got demons.
All right, we got our first text in here, our first verse.
Oh, yeah, what do we got?
In West Philadelphia, hired and paid on the hard court is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, relaxing, acting all cool, shooting some tweets off, wife acting a fool.
That's really good.
Yeah, we need to make this happen. This will be the hottest track of the summer. Yeah. Brian Colangelo's Fresh Prince.
Yes, sir. Getting in the yellow cab in Philly.
Get me out of here. Get out me to Bel Air.
I love it.
Get me to Bel Air.
Bobby Mack coming up live from Vegas, Game 5, finally tonight. Also, we have some exclusive audio of Philip Pritchard's voicemail.
Again?
Apparently, someone, an esteemed gentleman, left a voicemail message for Philip Pritchard. And, of course, Pritchard is the guy who oversees the cup, right? He's the handler of the cup. So we'll get to that later this afternoon. Ray's coming up. Ice Cube on the show in the 5 p.m. hour. Looking back in Game 3 of the NBA Finals, the Jays losing in extras last night. Baltimore's in town for 4. That should be great. Blue Jays, Orioles. No, thank you. I'd rather be Brian Colangelo's wife than have to watch that. No, thank you. So that's all coming up.
Love it.
We're all happy to be in
here. We're all pumped.
Three-pack of happiness.
It's a great time to be host of Overdrive.
Yeah. Reverse of the mail-it-in Friday.
Yeah, we're feeling it on a Thursday. All right, we got a couple more tweets and text messages coming in here. Then a couple of reporters that were up to no good started tweeting trouble in my neighborhood. My wife sent one little tweet and I got scared. I said, I'm going to lose my job and lose all my hair. I like that one. That's from...
No, you got to put in, I'm moving to my auntie and uncle in ballet.
Yeah, that should be the end. Giovanni tweeting in saying... From Chicago, Illinois, born and raised, Toronto and Phoenix is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool, and tell my wife drop the ball. I'm such a fool. I like that one.
Some very creative lines coming in.
Yeah, feel free to tweet us at HayesTSN, text us 105050, or email us live at tsn1050.ca. We're going to put together the jam of the summer. Move aside Timberlake and Bieber and Drake and Kanye. Overdrive is going to produce a
the
remix.
Greatest. It's going to be the greatest.
Yeah, it's going to be a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air remix, the Brian Colangelo story. All right, so look forward to that. It'll be hitting the charts real soon.
For sure.
Bob McKenzie coming up from Vegas, and the cup we believe will be in the building tonight. It's supposed to be, scheduled to be in the building.
Sounds like
building.
Philip Pritchard's been having a time out there.
He was in a pool yesterday with the gloves on, the cup floating around.
I want to hear one goon story. Like, I feel like it's going to be there. It'll be Vegas, for sure.
Well, yeah, if there's one town that's going to drag it out of you, it would probably be Vegas. That's got to be tough for the players. Like, you've had 2 days off, you're in Vegas. I understand, the cup, you're in the cup final, this is what you've been waiting for forever.
Yes.
But you're sitting in your room yesterday after you practice or you stretch or whatever.
Yeah.
And Tiesto's outside just rocking, and there's 20,000 people, and there's women everywhere, and there's casinos and the buzz of the city. And
I wouldn't be shocked if Wash was kind of off the beaten path, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, they're not staying on the Strip. They're not staying at Caesars. They're probably somewhere off the Strip.
Like
20 minutes out of town.
20 minutes out of town.
Doesn't matter though. You can get into trouble anywhere in that state. You can get into trouble anywhere. Period. How many times have you heard stories of guys go to the Super Bowl and like they get in trouble at the Super Bowl 2 days before the game?
Yeah, it happens. Absolutely. If you're looking for it. But what I've always said about Vegas is that it's screaming at you the second you land.
Oh, for sure.
It's just different. You know what I mean? Like
when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup, you would hope that everyone can put that aside.
I think they will. And believe me, it's worth it to be ready to go and ready to play, because if the Capitals win tonight, they're going to have the greatest party of their life. Yes. You know, if you win the Cup, regardless of where you win it, you are set up for the rest of your life, and you're never going to forget that.
For sure.
But doing it in Vegas obviously opens up a completely different opportunity. So we're going to head down there. We'll catch up with Bob McKenzie. I think William Karlsson's supposed to be playing tonight. He took a skate today. But if for whatever reason he can't go or he's not 100%, that's going to factor into Vegas big time. We'll get into the trade bait board as well that was up on TSN.ca last night. We'll see what Bob has to say about it. And again, Ice Cube coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Ray's coming up. Steve Phillips is coming up. There's a lot going on today. And we're looking for creative people basically to do the work for us. Yes. And supply us with lyrics for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air remix, the Brian Colangelo story.
That you are going to rap.
I'll personally rap.
Because you're the best rapper out of the three of us.
I think you are, for sure.
What makes you say that?
You're just, that's all your wheelhouse. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know the tune.
You're the millennial.
Fresh Prince, I grew up on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Exactly. It's one of my favorite shows.
I love that show as well, but I mean, I just believe that you've got a little bop in you.
You think I got a little bop?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
We'll see, yeah. Hey, listen, I'll give it a shot. Maybe it opens up a door to a completely different industry for me. Leave you guys in my dust.
Exactly. Get rid of us two pigeons.
Right. See you later. All right, Bobby Mack from Vegas in 2 minutes. Game 5 tonight, Vegas looking to survive against the Caps. Washington looking to win their first ever Stanley Cup. And the Cup will be in the building.
I hope it's over tonight, because I can't. The wait 2 days is...
You've had enough?
Terrible.
That's garbage.
Well, you say that now, but by next week, we'll be thinking, man, I wouldn't mind a hockey game out tonight.
Here's something for you, though. Where is the focus? If Washington doesn't wrap it up tonight, you know all the narrative is, can they get it done?
These guys are known to choke, man. Yeah. That's their history. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. And here's our Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. If Vegas wins tonight, how much heat do you think ends up on Washington, Bob?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, my wife likes to say she says she knows nothing about hockey, but she always says the fourth one's the hardest one to win. And you know what? It's true. I mean, there's going to be such a level of desperation on the part of Vegas, who for the last three games have really been, I don't want to say by far the second best team, but by a noticeable margin more often than not, although they've had their moments the first 10 minutes of game three and some parts in game two. So I don't know. The first 10 minutes of game four, I meant to say. In any case, I think Vegas is going to come with the right game tonight. If they get the first goal, it could get interesting. If they get behind early, I think Washington's got enough equity in terms of the way they've been playing to feel like that they could take this game over and win the Cup tonight.
What are you hearing on William Karlsson and his situation?
He'll be playing. He took an optional skate this morning. He's probably banged up like a lot of guys, but I think he's, from what I understand, he's good to go. There are some lineup changes they look like they're going to make. There's talk that Carrier is going in for Reeves on the fourth line. And I think there was one other one that they were looking at, Carpenter coming out, Perron going back in. So maybe a little more offensive third line. If they put Perron with Tatar and Eakin on the third line, it might give them a little more offensive punch. Although I like the way Carpenter's played for a waiver pickup. He's done a good job. But I think tonight, when they know they're going to need some goals, and although Perron has not scored for a long time, but he is an offensive player, and he's probably stinging a little bit from being a healthy scratch in the last game. to get Tatar into the lineup. So now it looks like both of them will probably be in tonight on the third line. Hack Hall and Neil will probably be the second line.
Bobby, are the Caps saying the biggest lies in hockey, which is we're not thinking about the Cup being in the building, we're just going to try to win? Because I don't know how you could play a game and not understand that the Cup's in the building.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what, you never know how a team's going to react to that. There could be a little performance anxiety there where you come out and you want to put your best foot forward and you want to close this thing out, but sometimes that extra bit of knowledge that, yeah, this is it, this is, we can win the Cup tonight, you might freeze a little bit. And that little bit of a hesitation is maybe all a team like Vegas would need to open the door, especially if they get the first goal. I think that's huge tonight. If Vegas gets the first goal, I think things could get real interesting in this game. I still don't like their chances of winning three in a row. But if they don't get the first goal tonight and Washington gets it, then I got to think Washington's just going to be buoyed by that and really just keep playing the way they've been playing and take it to Vegas.
With Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, he's in Vegas. Game 5 tonight, Golden Knights, Caps. I guess, conceivably, this could be the final game for Barry Trotz as the head coach of Washington. And I've been really intrigued by this story. I know he doesn't have a deal, but the idea that maybe the Caps wouldn't want to bring him back, or maybe he wouldn't want to come back, I mean, how could that possibly be the case? How do you win a cup and then there's animosity between the coach and the owner? Yeah.
I think there's three options out there, and I think any of the three are possibilities, and I don't think any of us really know outside of Barry Trotz, Brian McClellan, and maybe they don't even know for sure. But obviously, the one we live happily ever after scenario would be they win the cup. McClellan offers Trotz a 4 or 5 year deal at about $3 or $4 million a year. He's only making 1.5 on his deal right now. Trotz says yes. And as I say, everybody lives happily ever after. I suppose that's possible. But it's also possible that Barry Trotz would say, you know what? You guys could have extended me earlier in the year. You didn't. You left me hanging all year. There's a New York Islander job available right now. Maybe it's time for a fresh challenge and maybe a job that'll pay me a lot more than the 1.5 I was making. I'm going to consider my options here, and I'm going to market and see what I can do. That's certainly, I think, something that could be viable. The other one is that Washington says, you know what, Barry, we won a cup. Thanks for your service. It was awesome. But you know what? Todd Reardon is ready to take the reins, and we want to move him up. And we wish you nothing but the best, and thanks a lot. And I'm sure whatever happens, they'll probably come to some sort of accommodation. He's either going to be there long-term or he's not. And if he's not, then it might be where they both kind of say it's a mutual thing and everybody's ready to move on, and away we go. But it is bizarre that we're going to a Stanley Cup final clinching game tonight. The coach behind the potential winning bench, his future so uncertain.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It really is.
Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. We've been talking about this. You know how we are on this show.
Oh, yeah, I know how you guys are.
Yeah, you know how it works. And, you know, if Washington wins tonight, Bettman's going to be out there at center ice. And if there's one fan base in the league that should give him a standing ovation, it's Vegas. But I think he'll probably get booed. Like, what's your read on that? I mean, do you think they'll boo him or what?
The fans will probably want to just belong to the fraternity of fandom in the National Hockey League. And the quickest way you could do that would be to boo the commissioner when he comes out. So I guess, I don't know, that should be a prop bet, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're all betting the boos, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to get booed 100%. I think he is.
Yeah, and plus, if they lose and the cup's being presented, they're going to be sour anyways. So they're not about to cheer anything at that point.
No, that's true. Which, again, is shocking considering they're an expansion team. Like, you made it to the Cup Final and somehow you're going to be sour at the end of the year. But it's been an incredible run, incredible story. And if it does come to an end tonight, then, your work really kicks into overdrive with the draft right around the corner and free agency. And we were talking a lot yesterday about Frank's trade bait board up on TSN.ca. And to no one's surprise, Erik Karlsson is at the top of that list. But we were a bit surprised that there wasn't a Maple Leaf in the top 25. What do you think the reasoning would be there? Is it because there isn't anybody obvious or because it's too difficult to get a read on Dubas and what his plan would be?
Probably a little of both, but more because there isn't anybody obvious. I mean, you know, they're free agents or they're free agents and they've got holes to fill. So unless they shake the trees and trade a Jake Gardner or one of the existing defensemen or a forward, you know, a depth forward like Connor Brown or somebody like that. And there hasn't been any sense or hint of that, although the way that Dubas does business, which is much the way that Lou Lamoriello does business, you're not going to get much of an indication ahead of time on that stuff. But for now, it's still early in the trade game, too. I mean, there's lots of teams talking, but it's just talk at this point. And I think things will start to heat up more in the next week or 10 days.
We saw something come out of Carolina today where Don Waddell announced that they're taking Svechnikov with the second pick.
Well, he worded it, we're most likely taking it if Dahlin goes two.
Which everyone knows Dahlin's going one, right? Which I guess this would have happened with Buffalo. Like, did they announce it was Eichel? They must have announced that they're taking Eichel.
Yeah.
Like, it was McDavid one, Eichel two. But Svechnikov is not Eichel. Like, I'm a little bit surprised by that, Bob. Without knowing, you know, all of the in-depth knowledge of the draft and these players, I know Svechnikov on a lot of boards is expected to go two, but are you a bit surprised that he would make that announcement?
Yeah, a little bit. Most teams are usually play their cards a little closer to the vest. But again, I take even that stuff with a grain of salt because tomorrow, what's true, as Mike Babcock once famously said, what's true today is not necessarily true tomorrow.
Yeah.
So these guys all reserve the right to change their mind. Don Waddell's got an owner that often seems to change his mind. So you kind of have to just take it for what it's worth, which, you know, and as I say, we'll take it at face value for now until we have reason to believe otherwise. But it is kind of interesting that they've advertised the fact that they're prepared to take Svechnikov at two. But as I say, we'll let it play out.
Yeah. Enjoy it tonight, Bob. We'll do it again, if not tomorrow, early next week.
All right, boys. Have a good one. Thanks.
There's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. There is so many fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Brian Colangelo lyrics coming in. It's
I love it.
Amazing.
We have to create. I mean, Hazy B, you're going to be singing it.
Hey, DJ Hazy B.
DJ Hazy B is going to make his debut in the rap game.
Maybe
the
it
hip-hop
can be an
game.
iTunes. You know, we can put it out on iTunes.
I'll put my stuff up against Drake. Pusha T, Kanye.
Drake's had a tough, last 6 weeks?
Ugh. DJ Jazzy Hazy B.
DJ Jazzy Hazy
Just
B.
Just Hazy B. And you got to get, like, you got to get into the game and get involved.
I need a beef.
Yeah, you got to
get a beef. Who can I beef with?
I don't know.
Like a rap battle?
Yeah, I need a diss track. I'm not even in the game yet, and I want a beef. If I'm going to be legit...
Andy Petrillo.
Maybe it is Andy. Maybe.
Andy P.
Andy P. Hazy B's coming for Andy
Hazy
P.
Hazy B versus Andy P.
Yeah, watch yourself, Andy P.
Yeah.
I love
watch
flannel
yourself.
Shirts.
It's on. I'm writing a diss track for Andy P.
She'll write one back, though.
I know she will. And then someone will call me from up top and be like, squash the beef.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll get the phone call.
That's enough out of you, Hazy B. All right, Ray's coming up from Vegas. Ice Cube in the next hour. And a lot of people were welcoming emails, tweets, text messages. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air remix, the Brian Colangelo story by Hazy B and the boys. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Brian Colangelo resigned today, but was essentially pushed out. I guess after the Sixers did their investigation, they determined...
Parting ways is the new way of saying you're fired.
You're fired, yeah, but you can try to keep some dignity and you can pretend as if it was you, and maybe people will fall for it, that you decided to leave. But that obviously isn't really the case. Philly said you got to go, and it was his wife. And his wife, I believe, admitted to it, but at the same time, she... when she handed over her phone, which she didn't have to do. This wasn't like she was subpoenaed.
Right.
But I guess she basically just acid washed the whole phone and the whole system got, what do they call it, a factory reset or whatever?
Yeah. And they...
Pretty shady.
They were probably still able to dig around.
Mm-hmm. So it was his wife and Colangelo, maybe in order for him to resign and them not to fire and maybe they don't have to pay him anything now. Part of the agreement was in the statement, they'll be like, we don't think he really knew what was going on, and he was ignorant to it all. But anyway, what we were saying earlier was this guy's got to get out of Philly quicker than Will Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Quicker than the Fresh Prince. I mean, he's got to get into a cab and get the hell out of there and get to Uncle Phil. And
he is, I'm telling you. He
Aunt
is.
Viv in Bel Air. Carlton, and they're all waiting for him. Hillary.
Hillary was my favorite.
You were a Hillary fan?
Man. Is that the older daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because the young one was like...
But by the end of the show, nine. The younger one
She had
was,
grown up. I think she's a singer.
Yeah, she was a great singer. She had a bunch of really good songs out. At Carlton, and I feel for that guy.
He was typecast.
The biggest typecast outside of maybe Urkel. Outside of Urkel, Kramer.
Yeah.
Maybe Costanza, but he's broken out a little bit.
Jason Alexander, yeah, but I mean...
But, yeah, Carlton is like...
Anyone just wants to see the dance.
Do the dance, put on the cheesy voice, and then go stand in the corner.
That's what happens. Some of those guys are typecast, and they try and break it. Like, what was that guy, Screech, and Saved by the Bell? Didn't he come like a porno star or something?
He got into porn.
He got into some problems.
Well, that's another thing that happened with Saved by the Bell. What's her name? Elizabeth Perkins? Or no, that's not
Tiffany
her name.
Amber Thiessen.
No, the one who played Spano, whatever.
Oh,
her name.
She did
Showgirls.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth something.
My favorite for a while.
Showgirls.
Elizabeth Berkley is
Berkley,
her name.
Berkley, that's her name, yeah.
Yeah, and she was in Showgirls, which is it's an awful movie, but every guy has seen it.
Multiple times.
Every guy has seen it. But they're all like, it was my burner Twitter account. I wasn't really watching.
Yeah.
My burner eyes.
Man.
Wasn't actually me. You guys want to hear some great audio from Jay and Dan last night?
Yes.
So Jack and Leo were in the, whatever it's called, Coors Light.
Coors Light seats. Yeah, the side
seats. Or whatever. You're in those things every once in a while. And they did their whole routine about the game, and they were breaking down game three of the NBA Finals. And instead of them going to a commercial.
Right.
Jay and Dan transition into a highlight pack of the Jays and Yankees. And Leo's just like, all right, I'm done. And he just maybe he got up and walked away because they weren't showing them. They were showing highlights.
Yeah, he may have just bailed.
Yeah, Jack stayed in his seat with his mic hot and decided, I'm going to chime in on these highlights. And we got two clips here that really just, I think, highlight the greatness of Jack Armstrong.
He's the best.
You want to hear these clips?
Yes, for sure.
Jay's reeling as of late. Here's the play of the Yankees, fifth inning. Devin Travis up with the bases loaded, just one out. Grounds into the inning-ending double.
Yeah, I'm a Yankee fan.
The Jays
fail to
take advantage of a fine scoring opportunity.
You can't talk like
Sonny Gray fired up after that defense.
They had a Bill Grad, by the way.
This game needed extras. It was 0-0. Aaron Judge.
All hell.
Like, you can tell O'Toole's like, can you please stop?
Can I'm you trying just to read turn his mic off, please?
Yeah, you know they're looking at the director like, can you cut his mic, please? I'm trying to read this pack. All right, awesome. So it continues. They end the Yankee Jays highlights, and they transition to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And this is part two of Jack just basically chirping during the Jay and Dan show last night.
John Carlos Stanton. Watch this one. It gets about 8 feet off the ground.
Hello.
Oh, wow. As the Yankees knock off the Jays, which everyone is doing, in 13 innings, they take a 3-0.
Jack's happy. Let's see how the Red Sox did against the Tigers.
Oh, I hate these guys. They're obnoxious. Can't stand them.
Xander Bogaerts ending up fist bumps.
So he hates the Red Sox.
He's
he loves the Yankees.
Them.
He's booing.
That's awesome.
During a highlight pack.
They should just do a Jack interruption pack. As whenever they can.
I'd have him in there every opportunity I could and just have him chirping during the highlights.
Just sitting there, just.
We should do that on
the
show.
Chirping.
We should have him in one day and just say, whenever you want to chime in on any. Like, we're going to talk about the Cup Final, and if you want to boo us or do whatever you want.
So funny.
Throw a Bacardi in there.
I think he would be better, like. I want Jack after hours. I want Jack at 7:05 after our show. Because I want to have a beer with him.
That's the real Jack. That's the Jack. If you're lucky enough to get involved in that club, you're a lucky guy.
Exactly. He's awesome.
How great is that?
So funny.
Hello.
Just not shy to...
Oh, I hate these guys. They're obnoxious.
What a
legend.
A highlight pack. It's so good.
It is.
Shout out to Jay and Dan and Jack and Leo last night. So... Ice Cube is coming up in the next hour. The Big Three League is rolling through Toronto at the end of July, so we caught up with Ice Cube earlier this afternoon. This is a really cool interview. And Ray's coming up from Vegas, and I'm looking for a rap beef. Maybe Ray.
Maybe Ray.
Maybe exactly. I get into it with Ray here. All right?
over Phil and Crosby.
Something's got to give. I need a rap
beef. Dude, just get through this rap first, and then you see if you're ready for other people.
All right, we'll do the Brian Colangelo, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spinoff first, and then take it from there. Hour two up next, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.